Why a manger? A stone feeding trough for animals, carrying straw, and the Savior of the world. Why in this stone trough does eternity contract to a span? The incarnation, the coming of God to us in human form, is not weakness disguised as strength. It is strength revealed through dependence. Why does God choose such vulnerability? Why does he enter the world in such a unnoticed way? Perhaps that very arrival has something to say to you and to me today in how we understand power. All around us, in our culture, in our politics, in our business, in our world, and sometimes even in our churches, women and men vie for position. They want to be seen. They want to be noticed. They want to be heard. They so often feel as if their voices are most important because their voices are loudest. But that is not the story of Christmas. It's not the story of that first night when Christ came amongst us. God's vulnerability challenges our definition of dignity. It challenges our understanding of ourselves. And it invites you and me not to a place of independence, but to a place of humble dependence. You heard readings throughout the evening, and one of them was from Luke chapter 2, verse 7, which reads, "They laid him in a manger." No scarlet robe, no golden crown, no armies, no announcers, no great scrolls unrolled in public squares. And yet, the King of all kings, the creator of the universe, the maker and the sustainer of galaxies, lies on straw. The majesty clothed in mortality, the divine lying in the dirt. God does not avoid the ordinariness of our lives. If there is a message for you online and for us here tonight in the Christmas story, in the incarnation, it is that God comes to inhabit our ordinariness. He comes to our lives wherever they may be, with their complexities and their questions and their challenges and their uncertainties and their unfinished business. And he says, "Can I dwell here? Can I sit with you in the manger of your mess? Can I walk with you through the wilderness of your disappointments?" No matter how humble our lives are, no matter how ordinary they may appear, they can become jewels of his presence, shimmering with his love and his grace and his mercy, if we will let them. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, Paul, writing some years after the birth and the death of Jesus, describes him as having emptied himself. The Son of God needed Mary's milk. The Son of God needed Joseph's care. The Son of God slept in a borrowed bed. And in so doing, he reminds you and me that dependence is not shame. Dependence is grace. We live in a culture that idolizes independence. And yet we serve a Savior who models dependence, who invites us into vulnerability. You were not made to be independent, nor was I. We were not made to be unneedful of others. We were made to need each other. We were made for family and for community. We were made for interdependence. And the incarnation, the coming of God to earth, dignifies that need. The last reading that you heard from Naomi reminds us that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Power is not domination. Power is self-giving love. The incarnation redefines what it means to be human, or rather defines more clearly what it means to be human. Many of us can come to seasons like this one full of regret, wishing we could put right some of the things that we got wrong in the last year, looking into 2026 with a sense of uncertainty or fear or dread. Some are even looking into this festive season with that fear because of challenges and difficulties. But the incarnation reminds us that our very vulnerability, our weaknesses, our uncertainties, our brokenness can become places where God's grace can not only shine to others, but can shine into our own hearts. Because his power is perfected in our frailty. In Isaiah chapter 7, 750 years or so before the birth of Jesus, the ancient Jewish prophet looked forward and described God with a name that Matthew, the gospel writer, picks up in chapter 1. And he says, "You shall call him Emmanuel, God with us." What would you have done if God had not come in this way? You and I would still be trapped in our fear. Because no matter how hard we try, we can't make our way to him. That's religion. So he made his way to us. He broke through the barriers. He removed the obstacles. He dealt with the requirements because we needed that. And if you need that, and I need that, then the world needs that too. If God stoops to lie in straw, then we can trust him with the weight of our brokenness. Because the weight of the straw is the weight of glory. What looks fragile and useless and pointless becomes beautiful in the hands of a God who is willing to remake us. So tonight I invite you to lay down the illusion of your self-sufficiency and to embrace the grace of depending on God. Because the story of the incarnation doesn't end in the straw in the cave in Bethlehem. It carries into him kneeling beside those that were rejected and forgotten and forsaken, those who were written off, those who were broken, those who were ashamed of themselves, and those of whom others were ashamed. And there is a direct line from this child's cry in that night air to the cry of a man upon a cross 30 years or so later. When he looked down at the world that he had made and the people he had come to rescue. And he cried again. And this time he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Every year, during the Advent season and in the run-in to Christmas, I listen carefully to the narrated stories of the four Gospels. And I ask God to give me a phrase or a line that I can use for next year's Christmas Eve service. And I spend 10 minutes or so a day across the year thinking about that line. And in our 3 o'clock carol service today, I heard it. You heard it again tonight. It's at the tail end of the story of the Magi, the wise men, the warrior kings who came looking for a savior. And they're warned by God not to trust what Herod had said. When Herod said, "Show me where he is so that I can worship him too." But it was the last little phrase in that story in Matthew's gospel that caught my attention as I listened to it being read this afternoon. And here's what it says. So they left by a different route. Could you leave tonight by a different route? Could you perhaps leave with a different mindset? Online or here, could you come to God and allow him to replot the next chapter of your life? Perhaps a chapter that you've already planned and you've got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. But what if an encounter with the baby in the straw and the king on the cross leads to you taking a different route from Kensington Temple, London City Church? Exiting with a different mindset. Acknowledging your vulnerability and your need of God's grace and God's mercy. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to make a decision about that. And many of you may be here for the first time. You may have come through our Eventbrite advertising. I'm so glad you're here. Have the most amazing Christmas. Whatever you have planned, whatever you are going to do, may you know the joy of God in your life this year. May you know his peace and may you know his grace. And may you know his gift. But all gifts must be accepted. My grandson, our grandson, got a birthday present today because he was 5 today. And his mum and dad bought him a little electric quad bike. Not a quad bike, a dirt bike. And he is so excited. But they also bought him a little, it's one he can sit on. It's far too big for him, but he can sit on it. But they also bought him a little tiny one in a box. And they gave him the tiny one in the box on the kitchen table. And he came hurling down the stairs this morning to open his presents. And he opened the little box. And he saw the little bike and he went, "Oh!" But he was kind of disappointed because he wanted a dirt bike. But he said, "Thanks, Mummy. Thanks, Daddy." And he started to play with it. And they said, "Why don't you go into the front garden, Caleb?" And he went into the garden and came back. And he went, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." Because the big bike was outside. His granny, or his nonna, as she likes to be called. I do apologize, Debbie. And I bought him his outfit to keep him safe on this jolly bike. But imagine him getting the gift and saying, "That's really lovely." And then going back inside. He had to accept the gift. He had to take it, right? He had to use it. He had to sit on it. He has to allow it to impact him. And so, you can revel in the Christmas message. You can enjoy it. You can look at the baubles in the tree. You can pretend like me to be Michael Bublé for one night with a swing band, and this is as high as my Michael Bublé kick will go, but I am working on it. It's getting a bit higher every time I try. But it'll not make any difference to you unless you accept the gift. And sometimes I think we approach Christmas as if God has given us the little motorbike and we're slightly disappointed with it. But when we look further, we see that he has given us everything that we need. He offers us life and hope and grace and mercy and forgiveness. But we must accept it. We must take it. We must receive it and open it and use it. What good is a Christmas that remains an idea or a tradition or something that you look at every year but never enter into? Tonight, I invite you to consider that God has come to lie in the dirt in Bethlehem so that here in this building and across the world online, you might receive the gift of life. The straw held the weight of glory. The incarnation whispers, you are not alone. Your need of a savior is not your shame, it is your dignity. Are you willing tonight to worship the one who stooped so low so that you and I could stand tall? I wrote this for tonight. It's called The Weight of Straw. Under the thatch, the rafters hold their breath, frost biting the eaves like a whispered rebuke. Yet in the hush, a pulse begins to thrum. Not in the proud halls, but in the cattle's nook, he stoops to skin and sinew, bone and blood. The word is tender, helpless as a lamb. Hands that spun the galaxies in light curl around a finger, seeking the warmth from a mother. Dependence drapes like a woven shawl, not shame, but grace stitched into every thread. The maker leans on milk and mother's breath and sanctifies the need by which we are fed. So let us learn the weight of straw and trust. The crib, the cross, both timbered in his plan. For glory stoops, and in its stooping shows that dignity begins where weakness runs. Would you close your eyes with me? In a moment of prayer and reflection, I want to pray for you. Father, we come to you in need of your grace, aware of our dependence upon you and asking for strength. We come because you came to us. We reach out to you because you reached out to us. We thank you for your son, for that simple, remarkable decision that you made, that you would come and find us. And it has changed many of our lives. For those who need your grace tonight, and I count myself amongst that number. Come and give us it again. Let your strength become our strength. Let your peace become our peace. Where we are troubled, give us hope. Where we are in need of mercy, pour your mercy upon us. Where we are in need of a fresh start, give us the courage to receive that from you. And where we have never received the gift of Christ signified in the Christmas story, help us to receive it tonight. Help us to receive him tonight. Not just to look at him, not just to think about him, but to receive him, to accept the gift of your son, and to live in dependence upon him. Now, whilst your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, I would like to ask, is there anyone online or here in this beautiful carol service who needs to receive the gift of Christ for the first time? You've pondered him, you've looked at him, you've heard of him, but you have never received him. And tonight he offers you himself as a gift. And all he requires of you is that you accept him. He will show you the rest in due time. So wherever you are, whoever you are, online or here, if for the first time you would like to receive that gift of God through Christ, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can take your hand down in the middle. Is there anyone else? Looking across the balcony. I'm not asking you to join Kensington Temple. I'm asking you to accept the gift of Christ. Just put your hand up and take it down again. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. I can see your hand. Thank you so much. I see you. That's three people. Is there anyone else? Thank you so much. Four. What a wonderful thing it is. Thank you so much. Five. Christ is here, offering himself as a gift. And all he asks is that we will receive him. Is there anyone else? Thank you so much. Thank you for your courage. Is there anyone else? I don't believe in prolonging things like this, but I do believe in giving them proper time and attention. It is a weighty and a holy moment for you and for me. Seven people have indicated their desire to accept the gift of Christ. Is there anyone else? Looking round the balcony one last time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I can see your hand. Thank you so much. I can see your hand. That's 10 people. Praise the Lord. Looking on the other side of the balcony. Giving you time. You know, maybe you're a young woman here and you think that your value is determined by what other people think about you. And it's controlling you. But Christ can take that vulnerability and that uncertainty that you feel, and he can give you such deep hope. He loves you where you are and as you are. You have no test to pass with him. You have no requirements other than to accept him. And he will accept you and give you courage for 2026 to live free and to live differently. Is there anyone else? Thank you so much. I'm so reticent to finish this moment because it is so beautiful. So Lord, I pray for all 11 or 12 people that have received you tonight. And I pray for each of us who received you many years ago or many weeks ago or many months ago. We want to receive you again tonight and live in your love and in your grace and in your mercy. We want to face 2026 in your strength, not in ours. And we pray that we will leave differently, just as the wise men left differently. Help us to leave differently. Just as they went in a different direction, may we go in a different direction tonight. May we follow the leading of your Spirit. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. In the words of the famous song, these kings of Orient came and they offered your Son who they were. But Lord, we offer you ourselves tonight. And we pray that you will take our lives and use them for your glory. We pray that we will leave this building, this broadcast, differently, with a different step, with a different priority, with a sense of your purpose. And in a world that is out of kilter with you, we pray that it will get in step again with you. We pray that you will give each of us grace, that in the straw of our lives, we might discover the weight of your glory. Amen. Amen.